And welcome to another installment of Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp, who just can't seem to sit still. Mickey, last time out, you were in Lima, Peru. Now you're in Chile.
Indeed I am, although I'm about 1,500 kilometers south along the western coast of South America in a place called La Serena, which means serene in Spanish, and it's a beach town but also a mining center here.
Okay, well, I'm looking at an article, Mickey, that describes Chile as being one of the most stable and prosperous countries in all of South America. You've been there many times. You're on the ground there right now. What are your impressions of the country?
Well, it is. Before we get into the economy, though, I'd like to discuss a little about the geography and the geopolitical situation, which will help explain the economy and the mining mm-hmm. history. It's a bit of an amazing thing because Chile, although it's bordered by Peru on the north, Bolivia northeast, Argentina on the east, and it is essentially an island because it's bordered by the Atacama, the world's largest desert, driest and largest desert, to the north. It's bordered on the east by the world's second highest mountain range, the Andes, the largest ocean, the Pacific, on the west, and the coldest uninhabited continent to the south, which is Antarctica. So it functions as an island. It's very sheltered from the more traditional Latin culture. So in that way, it's unique in its culture, its economy, and its geopolitics.
Okay, the geopolitics of the country. You know, Latin America overall is a fascinating place to watch the political landscape change. It can go from kind of one extreme to another. In Chile, how would you describe it?
Well, it's probably one of the most stable, undoubtedly one of the most stable countries. Independence in 1818, and that would precede Simón Bolívar's revolution in the more northern countries of Western South America. Mm-hmm. Had the War of the Pacific in the late 1880s. At that time, it took territory, which made Bolivia landlocked, and took what eventually became very mineral-rich area, the Atacama Desert, away from Peru. It's a European culture, and most of the people are of Spanish descent, but a significant amount of Germans and Italians. In fact, southern Chile, I had a very good Munich-style lager today, so you get this German influence.
Okay.
One thing about the country which makes it difficult is the Spanish here, because it's an island, Spanish dialect here is very different, and in fact, I would say they speak bad Spanish here. Chilenos have never found an S that they liked, so the
okay.
words, S's are dropped all the
right.
time, it ends a word. So it makes it a little difficult to communicate. 17 million people, sparsely settled, except for Santiago with 6 million people. Concerning the geopolitics, it's been relatively stable, but people remember in 1970, Allende, an avowed communist, was elected with only 35% of the vote, but it led to very unstable situation. The banks were nationalized, the mining industry was nationalized, the CIA had an integral part in a military coup. It said that Allende committed suicide. I think that's probably debatable. And a military coup came in, and Pinochet became the president, and it was governed under right-wing military rule until 1989, but then there were free elections, and since then it's been left of center, but recently with a president, first president in 20 years, elected right of center.
Okay, well, let's drill down into the mining industry in Chile, a hugely important industry for that country's economic well-being. I guess it's safe to say, Mickey, that to a certain degree, this country really lives and breathes mining. I'm seeing information in front of me that says that the industry accounts for almost 50% of Chile's exports. So this is a very important industry to the overall health of that country.
Oh, absolutely. You know, mineral products are a very big part, dominated by copper, but there's also a significant agribusiness, the wine industry, produce. I dare say that every piece of fruit that you eat in the wintertime mm-hmm. in Toronto comes from Chile. fishing industry is big, and it's South America's largest forestry product country. But then again, we can go back to Dr. Copper. Chile produces about a third of the world production. It also produces significant amounts of moly and iron ore, gold, a lesser extent silver, lead, and zinc. But also very, very important, often ignored, are the industrial minerals from the north in the Atacama Desert, with nitrates and borates and iodine and lithium and potassium and essential minerals for the agriculture industry, the battery industry, ceramics, lots of industrial uses of these so-called industrial minerals.
Okay. Now, having said all that, Mickey, does the government there have in place regulations that you would consider to be mining friendly, both from a tax point of view and also from a permitting approval processing point of view?
That's probably debatable. I mean, it's I'll be very honest and say the mineral tenure system here is a bit of a mess. It's a judicial system versus a strict concessionaire system. There's a saying in Mexican Spanish, and I will say it in Spanish and then translate it. It says, puede tener muchos abogados. May you have many lawyers, a Mexican person. And Chile literally has many lawyers. It comes from the concession system with exploration concessions, exploitation, and then what they call mensuras, which is essentially the patenting process. But concessions are filed with the government. They have to be surveyed with monuments. But here's the real problem. They can be overstaked. So it's a constant battle of defending your claims. And so this creates revenue because you have to go to court and defend your claims. So it gets lawyers involved. So it's kind of a self-perpetuating system. There's also here a tradition of stealing your neighbor's ore. So there's lots of illegal miners. They're called pircaneros, and they are especially interested in mining copper at $4 a pound. They even hand-cob copper to deliver to the state-owned milling conglomerate called Enami. So in some cases, even Enami is stealing from people with from people's concessions. So from that point of view, it's convoluted. But the country is so mineral rich and has so many favorable geology terrains and the world's largest and best copper deposits, kind of overcomes that.
I was going to say, Mickey, despite all the problems that you've just rattled off for us, you summed it up nicely that it's so mineral rich that mining companies just realize that. They just work with the problems that are there and try to work with the system to make the most of it, because no matter how cumbersome it might be and how many lawyers you got to get involved, the land there is so rich that it makes it all worthwhile in the end, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does. And, you know, even the taxation system, it's fair. It's not overly onerous, but you're looking at a 1% to 3% royalty, and that's dependent on the size of the operation, amount of tons you mine per year. 19% VAT, so that's pretty common for South America. Interestingly enough, the corporate income taxes varies from 20 to 35%. Depending on if you expatriate your profits. So if you expatriate, you got to pay another 15% in corporate income tax. So it's not the best, but it's doable. Because of the 20-plus years of kind of a social welfare system that came in with starting with Allende, but carried on after Pinochet was voted out of office in 1989. You know, we have significant social benefits that are added on to the burden for companies. So taxation regime is reasonable, but it's not especially favorable, in my opinion.
Okay, and wrapping up, Mickey, how much room for growth do you see in the mining industry in Chile? Is it you know, no matter how favorable the land is, you know, things do get to a saturation point sooner or later. I'm wondering how much room there is still for growth in Chile. Are there a lot of encouraging projects still underway?
Well, there certainly are. A lot of that has to do with there's this extensive tertiary, relatively recent gravel cover, which covers up a lot of the country through, you know, the Atacama Desert and just mass wasting through the occasional flash flood. In fact, the Atacama right now is green and in bloom because there's been recent rains, and that's a once every decade phenomenon. So you get these flash floods, you get mass wasting and gravel cover. So there is lots of potential still in Chile because of the extensive cover. There are still major ore bodies being found, especially in copper, increased exploration for gold. I am here working on a copper oxide project that I've been involved with off and on for about the last 6 years, and 90% of that deposit has been discovered under gravel cover. So yes, the potential is great. We, in a way, kind of work within the system. It's an added cost to deal with the legal system, and also a burdensome accounting system here too. But it is a country with a very strong respect for rule of law. We don't often find that in South America. So a bit of a mixed bag, but the mineral potential overrules everything, and we continue to explore and continue to find in Chile.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have. Mickey, I'm almost afraid to ask, but where are you going to be next time we talk?
Well, I think I might be in your hometown of Toronto, Ontario.
My goodness.
I have a trip planned to northeastern Quebec to do some field work, and then maybe take a little vacation, a few days in the Maritimes, which I've never been to before, and then we will end up in Toronto about the middle of August, and I look forward to talking to you then after you return from your vacation, Rob, in South Carolina,
I think.
Myrtle Beach.
Myrtle Beach. I'm going to bake on a beach. It's going to be a lot of fun with the family. You had a German lager down in Chile. You come up here, Mickey, we'll treat you to some Canadian lagers, okay?
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if South Carolina will be as hot as Toronto's been lately, but I'm sure you'll be glad to be on the beach and not on the lake.
Indeed. Thanks very much for this, Mickey. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you, Rob.
Okay, that's Mickey Fult, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.